Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
Do you think the lesson from last spring will, you know, spur you on to finish the job right away?
Well, there's a lot of guys in our room that, you know, have gone through it just a little while ago. And, you know, it hurt. We're going to see how much we've learned because we'll see by our start on Tuesday.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Hour two with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. I'm Scott McLaughlin. That's Jim Montgomery talking about what the Bruins learned from last year when they were in this situation. They went down to Florida, won games 3 and 4 on the road, were up 3-1 in that series coming home. And, of course, we know what happened. They lost the next three. Shocking first-round exit. This feels different because the opponent's different, but the Bruins cannot assume there's any difference. You know, you got to assume you are getting the best game the Leafs have ever played. Like, you start there, you assume that's what you're facing, and they do. They have to come out. Montgomery said it right there. You'll find out early in the first period, you know, if they have that level of desperation that they need, but... Listen, you saw it even just yesterday. You saw two teams that had a chance to sweep. Carolina Hurricanes against the Islanders. Islanders end up winning in overtime to keep that series alive. Florida Panthers had a chance to sweep the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lightning come away with a 6-3 win. Keep that series alive. I know it's a cliche, but I think it's a cliche for a reason that fourth win is always the hardest. That one to actually end a team's season. So, Razor, what are we looking for from the Bruins on Tuesday to know that they're ready to close this out?
Well, it is the hardest game to win. There's no question about it. It's always the hardest. We saw that yesterday. We'll see that today. We'll see that tomorrow. I think, and you say this year's different, right? But at this point exactly, last year we were saying, look at Toronto. Oh, they're going to get Toronto. Can you believe they're going to get Toronto in the second round? Sure. I can't believe it. Tampa's going to lose to Toronto, and Bruins are going to play Toronto. Wow, this is the greatest team in the world, and now it's all setting up for them as well. So we at this point, and I was as guilty, probably more guilty, because I believed in that team so much last season than anyone, that it was over. Like, it was 6-0 game 5. It's perfect. They're at home. Everyone gets to cheer, like, move on to this series. So, yes, you always feel great after 3-1, and it's always very easy to look ahead for us. Hopefully, and I'm sure the players aren't, but for us, it's easy to look ahead, and I think it's important to remember Because I know I felt really good last year. I'm not going to do it this time. I'm really not. And I think that is the one thing that's different, is that it's so recent. It's so recent for almost all of these guys. And the ones that it isn't recent for have either been a part of it, like a JVR or Kevin Shattenkirk, who have seen it, or a young guy who's going to hear it for the next 2 days. You cannot make a mistake. You cannot take this lightly. This is the hardest game. We have to be ready. So in that respect, it's different. And in that respect, I think they're in a better situation because they won't have – I can't imagine – one of these guys have looked past game five yet, and only because of what happened last season. So I think they're in a good spot that way. I think there's still some tinkering to do. I think being at home, I think they can, move the rotate, there might be some kind of roster changes to be made and just ways to continue to get better.
Yeah. I feel like there's the aspect of learning from last year as well, and not to look past this game, ways to shut down your opponent differently, more simple defensive plays, and also health-wise, last year, if you think back to where they were, Krejci was not fully healthy, Bergeron wasn't fully healthy, Trent Frederick was a healthy scratch. They were not willing to go to both goalies at this point in the series. There were, and Lindholm had that fractured foot that didn't come out till after the season, that he was dealing with an injury there. And then there was, a few bad games by some of the defensemen. Clifton had a bad one. And it just feels like we're not seeing that right now, which is encouraging. That I know there's some injuries. I know Peak, is week to week. Forbert, I don't know if he's going to get into the series. Brazo is week to week, but that's not your top two centers, which makes this pretty different.
Yeah, last year, Bergeron was just coming back into the lineup at this point. Game five was his first game in that series. And, obviously if Bergeron gets cleared to return, you're putting him in, but it did force some weird lineup changes. The way that they lined up for that game five was pretty bizarre, and it's because that was really the first time they were playing with their full lineup of the guys that they had acquired since the trade deadline. After that trade deadline last year, they never had their full lineup until game five. And Montgomery couldn't really figure out who went where. This year, it does feel like the lineup's a little more settled, just in the sense that you kind of know what their A and B is. There's no big minutes player you're reintroducing or trying to fit in at this point. So you can tweak it, and we've seen that in the series. And I think now's probably a good time to get into some of the lineup tweaks that Jim Montgomery's made, because so far he's really pressed the right buttons at every turn, it feels like. Putting James Van Riemsdyk in ahead of game three, he's played well. He scores the first goal on Saturday. He has a screen in front on Marchand's goal. He's been active. You bring in Mason Lauri at the same time. I thought game three, Lauri mostly played well, but had a couple glaring mistakes. Game four, almost no mistakes. And he makes a really good pinch on Van Riemsdyk's goal.
His very first shift, it looked a little bit nervous, but after that, he really settled in.
Yeah. And, changing up the lines, right? Moving Heinen down in the lineup, DeBrusque up because he was playing well. Morgan Geeky moves up to play with Coyle and Marchand. Knowing when to put Lindholm and McAvoy together for a shift here or there, when to keep them apart. All of it feels like he's more or less gotten everything right. But, Reza, you mentioned maybe a couple tweaks. Just what are you kind of looking at as, areas where maybe it's not 100% settled?
Yeah, I think on the back end, you can look at Forbert taking warm-up the other night as a sign that's kind of like the next step for a player who's ready. I want to see Forbert. I think they need Forbert. I think he's a huge piece of this back end, especially I'm not looking ahead, but if you look at a Florida, a Rangers, Carolina, you need a big, long, strong defenseman to continue the penalty kill doing what it's doing. I think at times when you see Lowry killing penalties, you know, a McAvoy, Lindholm, or Carlo takes a penalty, and now you're using Wotherspoon with Shattenkirk or Wotherspoon with Lowry, that Zibanejad is going to eat that alive. I think you need to find a way to get Forbert in the lineup. I think him taking warm-up last game, I think game five gives you a perfect opportunity because the Leafs have proven that their down-low team, it fits Forbert. He can be nice and simple. So Shaddy, unfortunately, didn't do a lot on the power play over these three games. That unit hasn't been as good. Lowry's there. Maybe you kick him to PP2. And that's where you get that extra minute. It doesn't affect what Lindholm and Carlo are doing, and you get Forbert in with Wotherspoon.
That's what I was thinking too with Laura. I was like, I don't know if that's just too aggressive with him being a rookie and only having now two games under his belt in the playoffs. Is it too aggressive a move to say Shattenkirk out? Which, by the way, Shattenkirk has not been getting a lot of time, and he has, when used on the penalty kill, not looked super effective. But
well, it's not his game.
It's not what he does.
It's not his fault. He just can't, it's not his fault.
But that therein lies the problem. Like, you need a guy that can go on the ice and do that. So, and that just means you need to plug in a new guy on that power play unit where Lorai has been effective. We've seen Lindholm do it in the past as well, but I feel like Lorai could be a more aggressive option for them if they're willing to take that risk and have him be, unless they do Lindholm, Lorai, like as a, if you do three forwards, two defensemen, I've seen them do that earlier in the year. It'd be interesting to see Lorai in that role. And I've been impressed with how he's progressed and learned throughout the playoffs. And I think he was more effective than Grizzlick. So I'd be curious, Razor, do you think that switch is going to remain for game five, that Lorai over Grizzlick still makes the most sense?
Well, I think he's played the two games. I think, again, Lorai's issue isn't being on a power play. No. Lowry's issue is the backhand passes, the soft plays in his own zone that we see. So him being able to take minutes there and then having a Forbert to play more defensively, and you bump Lowry down to that kind of 10-minute mark like Shaddy's played in different situations, especially if you have a lead in the second and third period, then it works out kind of perfect. So Grizz will see Grizz. I think he's just kind of, the way Wotherspoon's played, it's impossible to take him out, especially just kind of what his skill set is just so different. And you can't go Lowry, Shattenkirk, Grizz. Like, there's just too much of one thing and not the other. So I think that's, again, where Forbert kind of checks into this, is he does something a little bit different, and he shores up some of those penalty kill minutes that they're giving to and splitting between Lowry and Shattenkirk if they have to with a penalty from the other guys.
Well, yeah, and Wotherspoon, I mean, he's playing real minutes. 19 minutes game three, yeah. 18 in game four. Lowry bumped up too. He went from 14 in game three up over 17 last night. So I'd say both of them are definitely staying in. That Shattenkirk spot, that is the one spot on defense where you might make a switch. You know, Shattenkirk's ice time's been down 10 minutes game three, 11 minutes game four. And has to be noted, at 5-on-5 this series, he's been on for three goals against, 0-4.
He finds himself in front of the net on every goal. It's great. Like, and it's not really his fault. Like, Marner makes a great pass in game three and Shaddy's sitting there. Last night, Marner makes a great play, threw his legs around, but Shaddy's right there. Like, you see 12 right there, and it's been a little unfortunate for him on those dashes, but when it continually happens, it's like, okay. And again, well, with Forbert there, it's just, you know, you got to get Forbert into a game, and this seems like a good spot.
It could, yeah. So that's a good point. I would say, you know, on home ice for game five, you can probably do a better job keeping Shattenkirk away from Mitch Marner.
Correct.
At 5-on-5.
Yeah, that would help.
You know, the one thing I think Shattenkirk has going for him, and Reza, you touched on a little bit earlier, but getting shots through, he might be the Bruins' best defenseman at doing that.
No question.
So, like, that, you do have to consider that as well. And it hasn't paid off, you know, in goals this series or assists off deflections or rebounds. But we have seen that from him at times this season,
yeah,
where it has led to those greasy goals. So that's,
and that's what you're saying with Wool.
Yeah, well, yeah, I am saying that. You can't put a guy in just, but he, I think that's going forward, you're going to see Shaddy still because he does things like that. There's times where he can create offense. I think right now, in game five, I'm looking ahead at game five. I'm not thinking, okay, we've got to find a way to score more goals. We've got to find a, you know, we can play this game by winning 3-1 again. And that's kind of where that little change on the back end. Up front, Dan Riemsdyk, does he check back out at home, or is he just a road player? Is he in for good? I think he's in after the way he's played. Of course, Lauko's still out. Beecher didn't play very well last night. Really had a tough game. Only 1-for-7 in the dot. Only
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Played 10 minutes. Does he check out? Lauko check in? But otherwise up front, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of spots open. Beecher's kind of the only guy after game four that I would look at. And even with all that he does for the group and for different ways of playing, it's hard to take him out too.
Yeah, we can definitely get into the forwards more here. We have to catch a break, pay the bills. Again, you can join in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We do have some texts I want to get through coming up here. But Bridget has you trending, and then we will be right back.
Non-stop hockey talk. It's Sunday Skate on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
What's the level of frustration in the group as we saw some stuff on the bench today?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any. You know, we're grown men. We're talking about plays out there that we just want to make sure we're all 100% on and, you know what we're doing. Just a little bit off page there, and we're not yelling at each other because we hate each other. We just want to all be on the same page to help each other out to, you know, try to get the best offensive chance. And didn't work out that one opportunity, but I mean, Willie and I and Austin, we talked about it after. You know, we're just trying to make a play, and fortunately enough, it didn't happen on that one.
Yeah. Welcome back to Sunday Skate. That is Maple Leafs forward Mitch Marner talking after game four. You know, it's always a good sign when you have to say the words, "We're not yelling at each other because we hate each other." That's always a sign that things are going well.
But we were definitely yelling at each other. I mean, it was very clear. It was caught. I think Sportsnet had some shots I saw of it after, because we watched it on Nesson, so we didn't have all of the angles that they had on Canadian TV of them on the bench just losing it. But Marner just straight up spiked both his gloves at one point. Nylander, and it seemed like there was an argument there, and Matthews, and it just seemed dysfunctional.
For yeah. sure. And on TNT, too, Paul Bissonnette was ripping Marner.
Yeah.
In particular at the second intermission, highlighting some really bad-looking shifts that he had, just kind of drifting around. Of course, Marner does end up scoring the Leafs' only goal, but...
Yeah, I saw Bissonnette ripping him. I was a little surprised at how hard he was going at him.
Well, I mean, it's Biz. Mm. It's Biz. He's selling. Listen, it's good. It's don't get me wrong. It's good for hockey, but he's also vested interest in the Leafs doing well, and he has a vested interest in ripping Marner and being the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's an angle there.
And so. Listen, I understand that it's an entertainment business at the end of the day, and sometimes you go a little bit over the top to make a point because it's entertaining.
Well, and like I was just saying with Leaf Media, they jump on real easy. So it's easy, you know, he wants to, you know, it's good to rip. If you're around the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's good to rip Mitch Marner today. It's beneficial for you to do that rather than stand up for Mitch Marner. So there's part of that. Listen, players, it's not that them yelling at each other and stuff is not why they're losing. There's some frustration in that, but players don't really love when media come in and ask about a fight on the bench because there's lots of fights on lots of benches, whether it's, you know, a player telling a coach to F off. Like, there's lots of that going on a winning team, let alone a losing team. So you're not going to get a good answer because players really get defensive about that because there's no context that can actually – you can't actually answer the question properly without going into personal details and explain. Like, there's no way to answer it. So you're going to get a weird defensive answer almost 100% of the time. When it comes to that, and you heard Keith being defensive, like he was defensive of his guys about effort and talking about that because people want the juice and they want to try and break you up. And again, lots of teams fight. Everybody tells each other to, you know, we've seen it with we saw Marchand and Pasta go at each other all the time when they were playing with Brad Marchand or with Patrice. They'd come off a shifted period where David did something, Brad didn't like it, Brad's yelling at him, David's yelling, like, it's just how it works. So the Leafs, again, it is a sign of frustration, but they've got real issues. They've got real issues, you know, to try and keep this series alive.
Well, and not just keep the series alive, but keep
season?
That team, that core alive. Like, listen, we obviously... We're a Bruins show, so we focus more on the Bruins, but they're facing the Leafs right now, so it's worth talking about the Leafs. And it also affects what this division's going to look like going forward, because I'm reading Chris Johnston in The Athletic from this morning, and Chris Johnston, more league insider type than hot take artist. You know, like, I don't think he's out there just firing off hot takes, but his column this morning... This is the end of the Maple Leafs as we know them. Just part of it. Barring an unlikely and unexpected comeback down 3-1 in a first-round series to the Boston Bruins, this was the end of the Maple Leafs as we knew them. There is no conceivable way to run this back. It hasn't worked and isn't working. Like, that's not just a coaching change. That's someone from that core four is out. That's like changing the entire makeup of the team. Listen, this entire Toronto team is built around offense, right? Like, all their highest paid players are, you know, throw Morgan Riley in there from the back end, but even he is an offensive defenseman. He's not Charlie McAvoy.
Well, the Bruins were really in on John Tavares a few years ago, so maybe John Tavares is coming here. Center Iceman, yeah, interesting.
But, you know, the Leafs are entirely built around offense, and they have 1.75 goals per game in this series. Bruins are beating them with goaltending and defense. Like, it's a clash of styles. It's a clash of the way these teams are built.
They trying to trade for Allmark in the offseason? Get a better goalie?
There you go. Let's start that rumor.
That's it. There you go. Tavares for Allmark. Straight up. Done. July 3rd.
There you go. You heard it here first. No. They do need a new goalie. And
clearly, among other things.
Yeah, they
You think they'd be probably just, you know, testing the waters on that as well as with other goalies, but worth the call for them. Obviously, the Bruins probably wouldn't want to move Hallmark within the division. So
No. Yeah, we can't do that. Let's stop that now because that will end up somewhere, and I'll get in trouble. Like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not being a part of. Not going to let you do that with me sitting here. Right. No. That's not happening. Let's see Hallmark win game series two.
So, Reza, this seems like an obvious question now because the Bruins are up 3-1.
Yeah,
but are they the better team? Should they be up 3-1?
Well, it's the special teams that really flip it. That's where, like, if you throw those, I would say no until you throw out the special teams numbers that you did to start the top. The PK 1-for-14, the power play 50%. Okay, yeah, that team's winning. You know, Team X has got this, Team Y's got that. X is always winning a playoff series through four games if those are the numbers. So I think we've seen, you can see, and again, this is why the series isn't over, because you can see how the Leafs are dangerous. Like, there's times where they push, and I think that the Bruins haven't had many of those pushes. And they haven't had to because they've had the lead the whole time, but they haven't had those 3-4 shifts in a row where they're dominating, and that we have seen the Leafs have. And you mentioned it last night, even, like, as bad as the Leafs played, they had the best three shifts in the middle of the third period where their goalie had to make more saves than the other guy. But again, it just goes, I thought the Leafs were better than this. I really did think the Leafs were better than this. But the special teams, you couldn't have predicted them be this bad. Like, it is absolute worst case scenario for any team what the Leafs special teams has been, and that's just unsurmountable. You cannot come back from that.
And probably why officiating has been highlighted by Sheldon Keefe, because if you can't handle killing off those power plays or killing off those penalties and you can't score on the power play, then a game that has a lot of penalties isn't really what you're looking for. Like, that he, and obviously with those comments, he was probably just trying to force the hand a little bit, try to get a little bit better treatment. But I thought the officiating in both those games in Toronto were bad both ways. I don't know if there's any reason to it, but the precedent that was set early in both of those games was just weird. And hopefully it's better for game five.
Yeah, and ultimately on the series, the number of power plays have been basically even. Toronto's had 14, Boston's had 13. Like, yep. You can complain about a call here and there, but in the grand scheme of things, you can't argue that it's been lopsided. Either way, it's what both teams have done with their power plays.
Correct.
And I would also highlight the Bruins 5-on-5 defense. Like, I think you'd still like to see the Bruins produce more 5-on-5 offensive chances, but look at the chances allowed. So, yeah, and this is natural stat trick. High danger chances allowed, 5-on-5. Game one, the Bruins gave up 15. Game two, 10. Game three, 5. Game four, 6.
Have we seen an odd man rush? I don't remember the last Leaf odd man rush. Like, straight on 3-on-2. No 2-on. There hasn't been a 2-on-1. There's the breakaway from Matthews in game two. Beyond, like, in Toronto, when you really, like, and I haven't thought about it until you just said this right now, I don't remember a chance off the rush.
I think Nyes had one.
On the goal?
Yeah.
That Marner made the pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a 3-on-2. So, yeah.
But my point is, we're
racking our brains to think of one.
I had one note. Early in the third period, I thought the Leafs briefly looked like they might have a 4-on-2. And by the time it got to the blue line, the Bruins had closed it off. Zaka had a good back check on Tavares. And that was the end of it. The Leafs didn't even get a shot attempt out of it.
So good. They've been, so to your point, so good 5-on-5 in the neutral zone, so good in the offensive zone, keeping pucks deep, getting, not turning pucks over, not allowing an easy breakout from the Leafs. And again, that's how, you know, as a goaltender and as a guy who's feeling really good about his game, if you don't give me 2-on-1s, if you don't give me 3-on-2s, the end zone stuff, the stuff in front of the net, I'm all over it. Like, that's easy for me.
Yeah, you're not. Swayman's been so good with that.
Yeah, it's easier. It's easier. It just is.
Let's go to Jay in North Carolina here on the phones. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. My weekly call. Hey, guys. If the Bruins want to play, get the Stanley Cup, they need to play like they played last night. But as I say, that second game they lost to Toronto, they were playing down to the other team's capabilities. And that frosted my bacon. But as I say,
I've never heard that one before.
Well, anyway, I want to see Omark in there, and I want to see the defense play in front of Omark the way they played in front of Swayman. They seem to have a different mentality. But if they play the way they played last night, they're in cahoots with the Stanley Cup, and they're gonna have to play the Golden Goons. I mean, Van de Hagen is a setup man. He's a good hockey player, but the rest of them are goons. And they gotta play that. Thank God they got Pat Maroon and maybe Frederick. But as I say, the way they played last night, they're in contention.
Yes, sir. They are.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.
Never heard frost in my bacon before.
No.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to look that up, what that means.
Sounds unhealthy.
But go to Razor, because Razor's immediate reaction was...
No, this is like, it's just the, why not, let's just enjoy Swayman playing really well. Yeah. Why can't we just enjoy Swayman playing really well, and then when Ullmark goes in, he can play really well. It's that's it. Isn't it, like, am I being...
No, it's simple at this point.
It's just simple in general. Like, let's just enjoy the goalies playing really well. Like, it's not, you don't have to pick a side on this. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be an Ullmark guy or just a Swayman guy. Like, it can be, we can just, let's go on a run here. Let's enjoy both of these guys. Let's expect both of them to play. Let's not try and parse, like, one guy getting bad defense and one guy getting good. You know, it's just that this is how it works. Again, I feel like that's why we still hear some of this, like, oh, let's put Ullmark in game five, because somebody's like based themselves as an Ullmark guy and they can't get off. It's like, let's just let that go, because we're going to see the guy who's playing best and winning games right now.
Well, and listen, it's, as I just highlighted with the high danger, like, it's true. The Bruins have played better defense the last two games than they did in game two. But I look at that and I think that's more a product of Austin Matthews had his superstar game in game two. And I honestly think, like, I'm not sure anyone would have stopped him that game. He completely took over. Now, he's been sick the last two games, so that's part of why he hasn't done it. The Bruins have also played good defense against him, and they've played good defense against the second line of Tavares and Marner. But, you know, Razor, I'm curious, like, if you think there's anything to this, because you do hear some of this of, like, they play different in front of Swayman than Ullmark. Now, I think we're basing that on a very small sample size, because I don't think that's really been the case all season. But from a goalie's perspective, is there anything to that? Like, are there examples where a team plays different in front of one guy for whatever reason?
There is, but not in this situation. There is when Vasilevsky's in or Matt Tompkins in. There is when Bobrovsky's in. Well, now Stolar's been really good this year. But there is when Shesterkin's in or John Quick's in. There are circumstances that they're different. But no, because, and we're not allowed to do that, because that was the whole point of the rotation for anyone complaining about that, was that this team plays the same no matter who's in net. I heard that a lot. And it's true. It really is true. I think this place, the way the Bruins have been for the last 12 years, is that it doesn't matter who's in net. They play the same way. The goalies all feel it. And that's why we've seen four different Vezina Trophy winners for this group, no matter who they are. I don't think they've played differently. I think it just, you know, all games are different. So when you're going in and out, that's what you're going to get. And on a small sample size, like you said, it's one game, it's four games. So, but over the season, no, they do not play differently no matter who's in net. And yes, we got to get to this. I see you guys giggling. This is like going to absolutely sabotage the show with 19 minutes left. So
we have a call here that says Fourier.
Now Zoe that can't Fourier, possibly there's be right. Zoe Fourier's out of bed right now. He's still in Detroit.
What?
There he is. Are your hands free, right, Fourier?
Absolutely hands free. I've been at a soccer game since 8 a.m. in the morning, okay, freezing my ass off, okay, waiting for Sunday seat at 9. And then what do I hear? Here's the thing, Razor. My comment is directed at you.
Of course.
You know, I was listening. Everybody else was saying real thoughtful, important things. And then I hear you talk, and I'm like, here's the thing with Razor. You're too connected and too attached to the goalie position that sometimes I don't think you can see straight what the big issue is. It's because you said that you don't have to pick a side. I think you absolutely have to pick a side. Either you are a Swayman guy or you're an Ullmark guy. And I will ask you this question, Razor, because you're the smartest hockey guy I know in the city. And I mean that. Okay? Human nature does come into play. And my personal belief is that guys on the team favor one guy over the other. Don't you think that naturally happens?
That was actually a thoughtful question on Sunday morning for you. I'm impressed. Like, I'm absolutely impressed. And yes, of course, it's a great point. And I think that that's important. It is a great point. And guys, Fourier, you know it as well as anybody, and we all know it. We all want to be around and involved with the winner, the guy who's winning. It makes us feel better. And I think that's what goes in. There is a part of that. It's a smaller part with this team than others because of how close both of these goaltenders are in ability, and either one of them can give you a chance. But certainly, when you see a guy win three games in 1 week, you're going to lean to that guy to win one more for you. So it is human nature. It's natural. You want the guy winning. And conversely, if you're the Leafs, you're seeing this guy lose every game for you. You're like, okay, let's switch it up and see if we can see the other guy. And again, that should give the Leafs a bump, and they should play better because they have a different goalie. Great question, caller.
Let me see if I love it. When I get the good question from Razor, it means I'm, like, paying attention. Okay, here's what's going to happen, right? So Swayman's got to play again. You got to ride it out. If you're going to go with the hot hand for yesterday's game, you got to let him finish out the series. Ullmark will start the next series. He'll get the first game of the next series, and then you will be able to create either a new rotation or a new hot hand. That is my prediction.
I like it for you. You are paying attention somewhat. I'm not sure. It could be game one. It really could be game one in Florida, depending on this. Don't forget, just remember, like, it depends on when the series starts and everything. Like, there is a scheduling issue with that. And let's not, again, I'm going to keep saying don't get ahead of myself, so I sound like it, but you're allowed to, Fourier. I agree. I think you do see Ullmark in game one or game two of the next round. I couldn't agree more. I can't believe you're paying attention. I literally can't believe you've called in Sunday morning and you actually even know what the score of the game was last night, and you know that there's a possibility they could play Florida in the next round. I'm so pumped.
Fourier just found my path back into the rotation. That's pumped. All it took. It took a call from Christian.
Here's why. I know, because I'm afraid I'm going to get exposed now because Razor is so hyper-focused on every little detail. And God forbid Scott rolls in and starts putting me in check. I have to pay attention. I know
it.
Bridget would never make fun of me, would all protect me no matter what. Mm-hmm. Razor, on the other hand, whenever he gets a chance, he's going to try and cut me down.
All right, we
do need to catch a break, though. But, Christian, thank you for calling in.
I'll see you tomorrow morning, Christian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm in tomorrow.
Right?
I can't wait to see you at 10.
Yep.
Come for the crossover.
All right.
I will.
I know.
See you, Christian.
Girl.
All right. We do have to catch our last break here, so we will be right back to wrap up Sunday Skate.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
All right, final segment of Sunday Skate here. Got the best call of the week out of the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Most surprising, shocking call.
Well, it's
with a lot of ways.
It's playoffs, you know.
And we have a text, Fourier, the hockey insider. I agree with Christian.
Yeah, we also have some text suggesting names for where I can go instead of goalie rotation.
Yes, co-parenting the net was a good one.
Sharing, situational rotation, goalie allocation.
Goalie pairing, like wine pairing.
I like maybe goalie vortex.
No, you'd made that up. That's not on here.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Nobody, okay.
Gets the people going.
It gets the people going.
All right, so Bruins up 3-1. Game 5 Tuesday night at the Garden. What are we looking at when we're back here next Sunday? Have the Bruins, did they wrap it up in 5? Did the Leafs find a way to extend the series? Where do we think this goes from here?
I'm sticking with my Bruins in 6 prediction.
I'm saying they finish them off. I was a 6 guy too. I'd love to just stick with my prediction. I don't think it's good if they go to 6. I think the Bruins need to win in 5 or we're going to look at 7. So I'm saying they're going to close it out. Swayman is going to continue playing well. They're going to, just lock them down.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Down and find a way to... The Leafs aren't going to go away, though. This isn't a 5-0 blowout in Game 5. This is a close game, and the Bruins find a way to pull it out. So next week, we're probably talking after Game 1 of the second round. That would be my guess.
Yeah, assuming...
I think they're going to move this thing along.
If
you
can't assume anything, but yes, if the Bruins wrap it up in 5 and, say, Florida wraps theirs up early, then, yeah, they're not going to... make those two teams wait a week.
And Carolina and the rain. Like, the whole East should be wrapped up here in the next 3 or 4 days. And if that's the case, they're going to push the East along here. It looks like.
That would be like a Saturday game then. But obviously, if it goes 7, that game is supposed to be Saturday.
Correct.
Yeah. So then we're really just talking after a win or a loss of a series if it goes the full 7.
It better not if you're the Bruins.
No.
Scott, do you change your prediction?
Yeah, so I was originally Bruins in 7, but they should wrap it up earlier. Like, I think they should and will wrap it up in 5 on Tuesday. I agree with Razor, though. It's not a given. I don't think the Leafs are going to go down quietly. I mean, if they do, that only further cements that they are totally blowing this up this summer. But, no, I expect them to bring it, and I think the Bruins win anyways because I just think they have too much going, whether it's special teams, whether it's the goaltending. I don't think Joe Wall is going to be the Leafs' savior, but we'll see. I do think he's probably going to get that chance at least. All right. That'll do it for this week on Sunday Skate. We'll be back next week, 9 to 11 a.m., either discussing the next round or, God forbid, discussing an unimaginable Bruins collapse.
No.
Let's hope it's not that.
No.
We'll talk to you then.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!